This is the text of Mary's Annunciation. It is familiar, and yet there is so much here. There's so many different ways to go with this scripture. Today we look at Mary's response to the angel. We want to release our lives for peace. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son. And you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy, and he will be called Son of God. And now, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. So the angel comes to Mary and says, "Greetings, favored one." We think sometimes that the angel comes to Mary because she's done something to deserve being favored. That's our natural inclination. If God favors us, then we must have done something really, really stupendous. But perhaps it's not that way. She's a young woman, most likely. We guess that maybe she was around 14 or 15 years old when the angel came to her, which I think is far too young to have a baby, but there was in the ancient world, that's the way it happened. Greetings, favored one. Mary hasn't done anything really yet to be of renown. She doesn't have a lot of experience. Now, I admire her. Obviously, as we listen to her responses today, we'll see that she's a person of great integrity, pious, loves God, open, bendable, teachable, all those wonderful things. But when it says, greetings, favored one, I don't think it just means that she's done something to deserve being favored. Rather, God is favoring her. God favors her. It's a gift. In fact, the whole idea is if you're favored, it's something's happened to you that you probably don't deserve. In fact, how could anyone be pure enough and good enough to deserve bearing the Messiah into the world? She's favored because this is God's design. God's favored her. God chooses someone, and God has chosen Mary. Now, I know that there are elements of the church that say, no, Mary was absolutely perfect. She was without sin. She was just perfect, and that's why she was favored to bear the Messiah. And that's all right. We can go that direction. But how about let's do this? Let's say that Mary was favored by God because God is one who just desires to favor us, even when we don't deserve. So then, we have something to release to God. Let us release the idea that you have to be perfect to have God's peace, God's favor. We don't have to be perfect to have it. It's simply a gift. In fact, it's better when we're not perfect. If we think we deserve it, oh. How many of you are planning to have a perfect Christmas? Nah. Yeah, there is no perfect Christmas, is there? Oh, we're just imperfect people who want to celebrate the coming of Jesus into the world. And if you're trying to make it perfect, you're going to drive yourself nuts. No, let's release this idea that we have to be perfect. So Mary receives this angelic greeting, and it says she was much perplexed by the words. Much perplexed, pondered what sort of greeting this might be. I'd be perplexed, wouldn't you? Angel comes and says, I'm favored. Well, why? Right? Why? Mary was much perplexed. I think, as a generality of our culture, we like to be on top of things so that we're not confused. We want to have it all figured out. We like that. We feel more in control, successful, adequate, all of those things. But I want us this Christmas to release this idea that you got to have it all figured out. You do not have to have it all figured out to have God's peace. God's peace is God's presence, all right? And it's that presence that gives us a deep, abiding trust. That's what God's peace is. It's very akin to the word salvation. Presence that gives trust to know that God has favored us. We do not have to have it all figured out. There are many things that have happened to me in my life that I've tried to figure out, and I still do not have figured out. Why were we hit by a drunk driver? It was just rotten luck. Okay, but for a while I was thinking, well, I must have done something that, you know, would cause this. And I kept thinking, haven't I been around alcoholism enough in my life that I should be free of it? Do I have to get hit with it while I'm driving? But you see, you can drive yourself nuts with this. You can't figure it all out. If you could figure it all out, you'd have to be able to see everything. And we're not God. We can't see everything. Now, last week the kids lit the candles, and Kelly Bodiger, I am so grateful to you for taking this picture. Look, Kelly took this picture. Now, it's of my grandson, Rowan, lighting the candle, but what do you see? The light. Now I know there's probably some photographic explanation, some scientific explanation, but did you see it last week? I didn't see it. Maybe you just see it on film. I don't know. But I do know this. When Kelly took it and sent it to Rachel, and Rachel sent it to me, and I looked at it, I thought, God favors our children. And sometimes we don't see it. We don't see how we're favored. We just don't see it. So we can't have it all figured out because we don't see everything. There's so many things that go on unseen as we worship, unseen as we communicate to each other. So many things. What a humble life we must live in the awe of knowing God does things we cannot see. The angel says to Mary, "Do not be afraid." Well, this is all over the scriptures, isn't it? Do not be afraid. I'd be afraid. An angelic greeting, overpowering experience of the divine. In seminary, we called it a theophany. How's that for a big word? When you don't know what it is, it's a theophany, an appearance of God that's inexplicable, beyond explanation. And so, she's frightened. Let's release the idea that we have to be unafraid to have God's peace. Because I'm convinced that most of the things that God will call us to do, we'll have to do with a little bit of fear. And Mary faces her fear and releases it to God. You don't have to be unafraid, but we do need to listen to the one who says, "Be not afraid." And when we connect to that, then our fear tends to evaporate. Mary says, "How can this be since I'm a virgin?" Because the angel announces that she will bear a child. And this child will be holy. This child will be the Son of God. This child will be the Messiah. And she is to bear the Messiah into the world. And she says, "How can this be since I am a virgin?" We are also people who like to know the how of things. How will this happen? Well, if I answer yes to this, then how will it go? How will the future come into being? How will this work out if I say this in this midst of this conflict? We like to know the how. We're very scientific that way. Let's figure out the how. Now, Mary asks this, and she gets a great answer. The angel says, "The Holy Spirit will overshadow you, and you will conceive in your womb." So the child will simply be implanted in the womb. But is that enough of an explanation? Does that really solve it all? Does that answer all the questions? I mean, it doesn't, does it? It's a good answer, but it doesn't answer all the how. Let me ask you this. How did God become human and remain divine and do it all together so that Jesus is completely human and completely divine? Can you explain that for me? How did God do that? Oh, I don't know how. I just know the who. People go, "How did God create the world? Was it the Big Bang? Was it something else? I don't know. I don't know how. I just know what? Who? Who?" We get hung up on this how stuff. It's akin to having it all figured out, right? But let us release this idea that we have to know how. Something will occur to have God's peace. You cannot know the future. Once in a while, God may give us a glimpse into it, but by and large, we can't. We do the best we can, make good decisions, pray, counsel with our community, and we go on. We do not need to know the how to have God's peace. Mary doesn't know the how, and neither can we. Can you imagine if God had explained to her all 33 years of Jesus' life on earth in that moment? Could she have handled it? I don't think so. What do we need to release to discover the peace of God? Are you trying to be perfect? Trying to figure something out? Are you fearful? Are you trying to be adequate? Trying to be enough? We need to realize that God works in our lives to produce trust. Trust. And when God works in our lives to build trust, then we'll find a peace that passes understanding. And this is the miracle of God favoring us with Jesus.